Coming to you from the Morningstar Mission sponsored studio, this is Carl and Crew Mornings.
Oh, man, I got so many questions. So many questions. Good morning to you on a brand new week. We're calling it the week of deconstruction. Just one word. You know, I tell you, before I knew what this meant in the church, I'll tell you what it meant to me in the oil fields of Prudhoe Bay.
What's that?
Well, deconstruction meant that you took something that was built and you tore it down.
Okay, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, I want you to fire some questions at me. Carl, why'd you tear it down?
Exactly.
That's a good start.
Okay. So let me tell you why we tore it down. Often because it wasn't built correctly.
Okay.
So when I look at deconstruction in the church today, which is the mass exodus of millennials and Gen Zs and other seasons of life, there's boomers and you name it, Gen Xers and others that are leaving the church as well, by the droves, you've got to ask the question, is it deconstructing something that was ever built to begin with? In other words, practical terms, were they ever born again? Were they really children of God?
Sure.
And then the other question I have is, did they deconstruct because it was never constructed well to begin with? I think the latter is more important because I think people are in the church, and yet there's a whole bunch of people that are supposedly deconstructing that were never born again, I believe, because I think that's the bigger problem. But then you got a group of people that were maybe born again, but what we gave them we constructed in them was not worth living in.
Yeah.
It's an interesting thought.
Absolutely. Another thing that comes to my mind is where Jesus says, those who read my word or hear my word and apply it are those who built their house on the rock, and then those who built their house on the sand. The foundation for those who built their house on the sand wasn't good because they were taking in the word of God but not applying it to their lives. And sometimes that can be a part of deconstruction. You know, if we aren't applying the word, growing closer to Jesus, sometimes that relationship can be marred, hurt, and other things when the storms hit, that you're not gonna stand on Jesus as much as if you would have had your house built on the rock.
I think that's right. You know, you might be listening to us right now and your heart is broken because you have maybe a son, daughter, grandson, granddaughter, neighbors. Maybe you are a single adult and you're in this middle. You've got a lot of friends that are defecting the faith. And you feel like, what's going on around here? Maybe you're one of those that's on the borderline of walking away from Jesus today. I want to tell you, we want to go after this. We don't want to leave this alone. Why? We don't want to put our head in the sand. I mean, there's a lot of heartbroken people listening right now that are going, what is happening here? So we're going to spend today really breaking this down. By the way, coming up in the 6 o'clock hour, Lena Abajamra is going to be with us, and we're going to be tackling 3 specific questions with her. But we're going to get this hour fleshed out ourselves and just go, what in the world is happening? What is going on here? First question we want to tackle coming up is, what is it really? What is deconstruction? So I've got a working definition here of that, and we're going to tackle that straight ahead.
Talking about Jesus and having fun while doing it. We're Carl and Crew Mornings.
Nothing like getting definitions, right, guys?
Oh, absolutely.
Gotta start with the truth, the source.
Cat hair are we talking about here?
Right?
So deconstruction, let me give you a definition for this. Deconstruction is a heading that is applied to the process of questioning, doubting, and ultimately rejecting aspects are all of the Christian faith. It is a approach to claims that disassemble beliefs and ideas while assuming that their meanings are inherently subjective. That's what one academic says. Now, if people are going through a process of questioning and doubting and ultimately rejecting aspects of Christian faith, could it be that we have failed a lot of our millennials and Gen Zs, they're rejecting or they're deconstructing aspects or all of their Christian faith because we've not let them question or doubt?
Or had answers for that doubt?
I don't even know that we let them do it. I don't know that we do. I was reading an article here in, and by the way, if you want to check this out, the same article, I'm not going to give you a link. Just go to gotquestions.org. They've usually got some good stuff. Gotquestions.org, and look up deconstruction, or what is deconstruction, because a little bit further down in this thing, this article, they say, rather than allowing room for sincere doubt and questions, some Christian communities reject anything more than superficial curiosity.
Wow.
Now, I'm going to tell you right now, I was raised in that, and I think it's everywhere out there. I was raised in an atmosphere, it's like you didn't ask too many deep and probing questions.
Why not?
Because it's faith, don't you know, and you just got to trust God.
Oh,
people
that's
get
hard.
And people get defensive when they don't have good answers, so they get mad.
Yeah.
Which is a horrible thing to do.
Yeah. Stop asking. It is because it is.
It's exactly right, Super Die. And the fact is, we deserve so much more, don't we?
Yeah. I mean, I feel that, because we've all struggled with doubt. And I think that most of us who have grown up in the church in some way can relate to that feeling of not feeling like you have the place to go ask those questions because you're embarrassed about what the response might be if you tell somebody you're struggling with doubt.
Yeah, and this is a big one, and we don't leave room in the church for doubt.
Yeah.
And it has to be there. I mean, we say we have doubt or curiosity in a category of rebellion. Doubt is not rebellion. That's not the case.
And I was going to say, too, it tends to make you label you a troublemaker.
Okay, there
you
go. You
know, and it's like, well, okay, fine, I'll go back in the corner and never mind.
Yeah, you're a troublemaker, don't you know? No. It's so much different than that. And so I want to ask you, and I want you to bring to mind right now, do you have people in your life who are struggling with this issue of deconstruction? I'm going to give you the definition again here. It is a heading that is most applied to the process of questioning, doubting, and ultimately rejecting aspects of Christian faith or all of it. And here's a problem. We don't allow for questioning and doubting. I'm drilling down on this one a little bit because in the 6 o'clock hour, we're going to have Lena Abijammer coming in here, and we're going to be talking about church hurt. But one of the things that we do is that I think we foist church hurt on people, especially kids, because we've not let them question or doubt. And so here's a question I got for you. Is that even biblical? I'm going to tell you the flip side is biblical. Coming up straight ahead, I'm going to show you a scripture that says you better let people question and doubt. It'll prove it to a T.
Helping you start your day with a boom. You're listening to Carl and Crew Mornings.
Questions, doubts, do we dare have them? Talking about deconstruction all week long. Deconstruction is this heading most applied to the process of questioning, doubting, and ultimately rejecting aspects of Christian faith or all of it. And we've got an epidemic going on right now, Boom Crew. We've got so many millennials and Gen Zs that were raised in the church that are just saying, I'm out of here. I don't believe it. I'm gone. I'm rejecting it totally. And it is an epidemic. This is huge. Young Thunder, you see this.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's sad to see that people who grew up in the church, obviously growing up in the church doesn't mean that you are a Christian.
Correct.
That choice.
You're born again.
Yeah, absolutely. God works in you, and that choice is a personal choice, not a born-into-it choice. And so it can happen, but what is in the environment of the church that is increasing the probability for that to happen? I think that's a good question to ask, because we need to know how we can slow that down, how we can stop it and minimize it as much as possible.
I'm telling you right now, guys, if we're talking about this honestly, we've got to wrestle with the fact that we have created environments that don't allow for questioning and doubting. And that's just a fact. We have done that. In fact, I was raised in a culture that it's like, what was the term that you just used? You're a troublemaker?
A troublemaker, yeah.
Yeah.
If you bring up anything, question anything.
I mean, they wouldn't use that word on me, but I think more than often than hearing, oh, don't be a troublemaker, was you just got to have faith. You just got to have faith. Well, some some statements require a little more explanation. And you might say, well, Carl, can you chapter and verse that? Thank you for asking. Yes, I can.
That's a good question.
In Acts 17, this is what we find. Now, those Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica. Who were these? These were the Bereans. They received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. Whoa.
Wow.
What do we find in Acts 17? There were a group of people who were taking the words that were being spoken and comparing them against this word here and going, is this so? You have got to, as a pastor or leaders in a church, actually celebrate people that are checking you out. The fact is, we don't like that.
No, not at all.
Why
get
don't
defensive.
We, yeah, why don't we like that?
I'm going to kick that back to you. Why don't we like that? You're a pastor's kid. Why don't pastors like being questioned?
I think that sometimes there is a level of pride. I'm not speaking personally, so I don't want anybody
right.
to make inferences.
No. You're not infer. Your dad's a humble dude.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, by the way, the humblest among us struggle with that. Mm-hmm. And as a pastor, I enjoy people asking questions, but I will tell you, my pride bubbles up when someone starts taking me on.
Yeah.
And that has to be, you've got to put that to death.
That's the big thing right there. You said pride, because we start to, I think, get our cup bumped a little bit because I think we make it too much about us in that specific scenario as leaders or teachers by saying, they're asking me questions. They're telling me that I'm not doing a good enough job of saying this already. And so that's why these questions are coming. And when you feel like it's a personal attack, which it is not, then you're going to handle things a little bit more defensively. At least your natural response would be that.
Okay, so that would be a questioning. What about a doubting or verifying? It's like Reagan used to be, trust and verify. Ooh. So a lot of people, pastors, say, I want you to trust me. Well, no.
I think
we ought to treat pastors. You ready for a crazy statement? Here we go. I think we ought to treat pastors like Reagan treated Russia. Now, that may sound nutso.
Yeah.
But I mean it. Trust and verify. And you might say, Carl, come on. Are you kidding me? Trust and verify? Yeah. I'm going to prove it to you coming up with one passage of scripture we haven't even seen yet. Hang on.
Waking you up with adrenaline and Jesus. We're Carl and Crew Mornings.
How in the world do we help people that are deconstructing? Hey, this is Carl and Crew Mornings, helping you take your next step with Jesus. We're talking about these beautiful young men and women, most often millennials, Gen Zs, that are exodusing the church. I mean, they're heading out by the droves. Why are they leaving? And we're going to be talking about this all week long. We're going to be talking this week about self-focus. There's a lot of self-absorption in our culture today. We're going to talk about people that have doubt and why they're dealing with it. We're going to talk about scandals inside the church and why that has cast a real shadow on even the historicity of the scriptures and the validity of Jesus' deity. It really has. But I want to drill down on something here, guys, because let me give you a definition again for deconstruction. It is a heading that is applied to the process of questioning, doubting, and ultimately rejecting aspects of Christian faith or Christianity altogether. Now, I don't believe people just go from belief to rejection of belief this quick. And let me be careful here, because I do not believe you can lose your salvation. So are some people leaving the church that are saved and the hounds of heaven will be after them? Yes. Are some people leaving the church that were never in Christ? Yes. So both. You got all both right. kinds of people out there. But for both of them, I think this applies. Are they allowed to question and, God forbid, doubt? Is it okay to have doubts?
Yes.
It is.
How do we know that from Scripture that it's okay to have doubts?
Thomas comes right
Thank
to mind.
You.
Bingo.
Bingo. Thomas had doubts.
Right.
You know what Jesus didn't say to Thomas? Come on, Thomas. I'm the Savior of the world. I'm the Son of God. If you can't believe me, get out of here.
Yeah, you're so dumb to think that way.
He accommodated him.
Yeah, you know, I almost think that we give Thomas a bad rap because there's this one specific sense of him doubting. All the disciples experienced doubt after Jesus was crucified.
He came forward.
Yeah, and he came forward, but all of them were kind of scrambling around, talking to each other, saying, you know, our Messiah is dead. What do we do? What happens next? None of them really knew where to go. And Jesus came back and he enlightened them, and, you know, that doubt was healed. But it doesn't mean that they were sinning to have those questions.
Boom. You nailed it.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes in the church today, and we really get, we're focusing on this right now, because part of the church hurt that we have is I don't think there's any room for questioning and doubting. And frankly, I kind of kicked myself. I was always very open to questions, but I don't know that I sent a signal to my own kids as they were growing up. Please ask questions. In fact, you might say, well, Carl, should you even do that? I mean, if a preacher says it, shouldn't you follow it? I think there's a lot of that mentality out there. I'd say no.
Yeah.
Not just no, but heck no.
Verify it.
And so let me give you two passages of scripture here. Acts 17:11. Now, these Jews were more, these are the Berean Jews. These Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. Nobility is attached to questioning.
Yeah.
What?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, it goes even further than that. So here's the verse that I hadn't given you yet. 1 John 4:1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit. What?
Mm.
But test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world.
Yeah.
Okay.
And many still will.
Oh, yeah.
Mm.
So we've got questioning leads to doubting, and doubting leads to rejecting aspects of the Christian faith. That's why we have deconstruction. But when was the last time you heard a message from a pastor saying, don't take my word for it?
Hmm. Yeah.
No, and
I know, crickets.
You can pin that on me, too.
Yeah.
Don't take my word for it. Now, by the way, are we citing the word of God? Yeah, if you're citing the word of God especially. But by the way, if a pastor's up there just prattling on and not citing scripture, yeah, don't take his word for it at all. Hmm. But in the ESV, 1 John 4:1 says, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, for many false prophets have gone out into the world. And the question then is, how do you test the spirits, lowercase s? This is where you look at a person's life and their consistency, but combine that with Acts 17:11, you look at what they're saying up against the inspired word of God,
mm-hmm.
and you make sure, do these things jive?
Yeah, when was the book of Acts talking about the Berean Jews?
Yeah.
Yes, mm-hmm. I like that there because they're taking what they're hearing and they're taking it with eagerness. There's a sense of excitement almost to hearing what they were hearing, but they took what they already knew to be true and were inspecting that to see if it could confirm what these people were saying
Love
to
it.
Them.
Love it. Coming up, we're going to have some stats on the kids leaving church and so much more. But we've got an exodus today of deconstruction. What is it? Why is it happening? And really, what we're going to tackle coming up, what can we do about it?
Keep up with the team on social media. Just search Carl and Crew Mornings on Facebook or Instagram.
You want some shocking stats? This is from Pew Research. Sadly enough, this is a couple years old, and we're going to get some fresher stats here in these next hours. But let me just give you something that I know is solid. A lot of these stats, I want to make sure we're giving you solid stuff. Here's something from Pew Research. 59% of American millennials raised in church no longer attend. That's 2 years ago.
Wow.
59?
59%.
Whew. Wouldn't have gone that high.
This is corresponded with an 8% dip in attendance overall. So we've got an overall, as I was saying, we've got an overall exodus from evangelical church, but especially in millennials and Gen Zs. By the way, tragically enough, do you know what else is going on? giving to churches is down markedly in the last 2 years. Giving to secular do-good organizations is up.
Could that be COVID related or no?
No, it's faith related.
Okay.
The giving in the church, I mean, I think COVID probably, because of that isolation, showed us that we really weren't as grooving on what we were thinking anyway.
Yeah. This is all different faiths or belief systems joined in here, but this is a Gallup poll. In 2020, 47% of adults belong to a church, synagogue, or mosque. That's down 20 points from the turn of the century.
That's huge numbers, guys. Yeah. And that's everyone.
That's everyone.
Yeah, so when you see a Pew Research poll of 59% of American millennials raised in church no longer attend, 59%.
That's the majority.
Wow, yeah.
The majority.
Raised in church, no longer attend. Guys, that's a big deal.
And you have to look and say, what is going on inside of our community that is... Really, right now, the data would show it's cultivating this. What is cultivating this that almost 60% of people born in church are leaving it?
All right, coming up, I want to tackle what we've already looked at. We've already looked at a couple of things that we think are cultivating it, but I want to hit those again because these are important. And let me give it to you right now. We don't allow for questioning and doubting inside the church. Mm. We don't. Here's a quick Band-Aid answer. Boom, right there. We don't let kids wrestle with it. And we've got to do a better job of that. See, this questioning and doubting, if unallowed, leads to full-blown rejection of all aspects or big portions of the Christian faith.
And I think more so than just allowed, I think it needs to sometimes be verbally encouraged.
Boom.
Because I grew up in a church where I can guarantee you it was allowed. Like, I don't really think anybody would have looked down upon me, but in my heart, in my soul, I was being beaten up saying, you can't let anybody know about this. You know, I felt embarrassed about it, but, you know, if it was verbally encouraged, that embarrassment can't live.
There's a good word we haven't touched yet. Embarrassed.
Yeah. It's huge. Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a big one.
It's a big one. Coming up, let me give you a couple of passages of scripture, and then we're gonna kind of begin to turn this, like, what can we do about it? Mm-hmm. But I think that's one of them right there. Hang on.
Waking you up with adrenaline and Jesus. We're Carl and Crew Mornings.
Hey, you might have just heard that stat that I gave you, and you're like, you say what? You got to be kidding me. This is hard to hear.
It's alarming.
Pew Research. Most recent as 2019, 59% of American millennials raised in church no longer attend. Anyone else cringe over that number?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
59%, man.
That is cringe-worthy. And here's what we've been talking about as to why we think this is happening. There's a lot of reasons. We're going to be tackling them all week. Self-focus is one for sure. We've raised a self-absorbed world that can't deal with hardship.
Yep.
And frankly, there's a lot of these kids leaving the church because they don't want to, the cost of discipleship is too picking high.
Oh, right.
But there's also been church hurt galore. And there's dealing with doubt, but that's what we're talking about here today, is that are we letting our kids deal with doubt? Or are we shaming them into something? Mm. The fact is, we're shaming our kids into not asking questions and having doubts.
Yeah, but that's the problem with that is that just because they're not being asked out loud doesn't mean they're not being asked inside. You know, those questions don't just go away because you tell them to go away.
That's a profound insight. That's good. Acts 17:11 says, now those Jews were more noble. These are the Berean Jews. Were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. Oh.
Hmm. There you go. And it kind of takes me, I'm thinking maybe as a mom, but it's that because I said so mentality. Hmm. You know, it's like.
It's not working.
It's not working at all. You just can't say that and kind of drop the mic and walk away. You've got to be able to be ready for questioning, if that's the case, And not only that, but to be able to accept that questioning as well and have an answer for it. If a kid asks you something, well, because I said so, what does their face look like to you?
That, and quit taking it personally. This there is not you about you.
Mm-hmm.
And pastors have to be able to say, like we find in 1 John 4:1, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into this world. The principle holds true. Some pastors are not to be believed. Dare I say that? Yes.
Yeah.
And the only way you can, and let's say the majority are to be believed, but here's the thing. God never says just believe someone because they're in a position. You believe someone because their position is backed up by the scriptures, and those are consistent, and they jive. This is a hard topic, but I'll tell you something. I know for a fact the reason that we've driven kids away from the church is due in large part to the fact that we have not allowed questioning and doubting to exist.
And we discussed this, too, a little bit this morning, because we look at doubting as such a bad thing, as a troublemaking thing. We talked about Thomas and how much grief he gets. I mean, Jonathan, you even mentioned it. This poor guy in character and in school plays and Sunday school plays gets a bad rap for doubting. And in reality, it's like, isn't that truthful?
Yep.
And how did Jesus react to him? Open arms, literally.
Yeah, he walked toward him and said, hey, man, here we go.
Yeah.
Put your hands in my side. Put your hand in my hand.
Oh.
Good stuff.
Yeah,
guys.
It really is.
Okay, we've got a full hour for you coming up, and this hour is going to lead to two more beyond that. Wow, we do 4 hours of radio around here.
That's right, we do.
We do.
But Lena Abajamra is coming up. She wrote a book called Fractured. I read it cover to cover and endorsed it. And what I love about Lena is she doesn't just leave us in deconstruction mode. She talks about how to begin to rebuild this life on the rock.
Right.
And gives us the bigger yes. So hang on to your hats, people. Lena Abajamra coming up.
Your number one hub for freedom stories. You're listening to Carl and Crew Mornings.
Boom Crew, we've got a treat for you today on this Freedom Friday. I want to introduce you to our special guest, Chris Baker. He's founder of Ink 180 in Oswego. Incredible ministry that transforms tattoos that have been put upon people, usually gang affiliation or related to trafficking. And he transforms them into something beautiful. He uses his gift of artistry and his talent here. And it does incredible ministry as he's tattooing and kind of rebranding these people who have been cast off. And we're featuring a really cool event today with Chris.
Yeah, we'll get to that in just a moment here. Chris, good morning, man. I want to ask you, how are you doing first off, brother?
I'm doing great. So good to talk to you guys.
Yeah, we love you.
Love you guys, too. It's been a wild year. I've lost 110 pounds and getting my health back in order so I can serve God longer and doing great.
110 pounds?
Yes, sir. I'm back to fighting weight. So.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Here's what's crazy. You might have lost 110 pounds, but God's still giving you those big old mitts that you got big old hands. My goodness, Chris Baker, you must be a ripped specimen right now, my man. That is so cool. Listen. I want people to understand kind of what you do by way of story. Give us a fresh story of someone who benefited from your ministry of tattooing.
Sure. I actually just had a young man reach out. He was trafficked. I think a lot of people, when they think of sex trafficking, they think, it's only women, and it's predominantly women, but we are seeing more male survivors. And I had a young man come in. He was 22 years old. His parents had both passed away when he was very young, and he was sent to live with an uncle who was a drug addict and got him hooked into drugs and then was trafficking him as a means to feed their drug habit. And it's heartbreaking to hear the stories. I sit and really am present with these folks and listen to their stories because what they want is to be heard. And this young man just truly, you could tell nobody wanted to listen to him. And he had actually been turned away by other organizations. And I removed his tattoo that his uncle had put on him in their garage one afternoon.
Oh, man.
Yeah, and it's heartbreaking. I know there's people that don't like tattoos or don't believe in tattoos, but I'll tell you what, I really don't like these branding tattoos because nobody should ever be marked as product or, you know, that somebody owns you. It's just, it's disgusting and it's heartbreaking. But I'll tell you, the best part about it is hearing that this young man has found the Lord. He was baptized.
Oh, my goodness. This is great.
He's being rebuilt from the inside out. And I get a front row seat to watch Jesus redeem people every single day. And it's a beautiful thing.
Chris, you get a glimpse into a really dark world through the lives of people who walk in to your office. How big is this trafficking problem in locally, nationally? I know you're a part of different ministries. You keep tabs on what's happening. People think of this as kind of an overseas problem. How big is the problem here?
It's a tremendous issue, Ellie. We have an estimated 250,000 to 300,000 Americans being trafficked within this country every day, and that's just this country. This is a worldwide issue. It's the fastest growing crime in the world that's hidden in plain sight. You know, a lot of us, especially here in the States, we're kind of conditioned through the media to have this idea of what prostitution or trafficking looks like through movies like, you know, Pretty Woman or Taken.
Yeah.
And in reality, it's really nothing like that. It's, you know, everything is done through the internet or on cell phones. And, you know, I go into the schools and educate our kids all the time to make them aware and try to keep them safe. But I tell them all the time, I could bring five trafficking victims and put them in this room and you wouldn't be able to pick them out.
Wow.
Why?
They look just like everybody else.
Yeah. Chris Baker's our guest right now. He is the owner and operator of one of the greatest ministries in Chicagoland called Inc. 180. Chris is a authentic disciple of Jesus Christ. That's what we're talking about today, is become disciple makers. What do you find that is... You're obviously seeing the strategies of darkness here, Chris. You are. You're getting an insider's view of the strategies of darkness. How should we as Christians pray? Those that can't open up tat shops to help you, how do we pray? And I mean praying in the spirit for these things to get this vile trade shut down called sex trafficking. How do we do that?
Well, I'll tell you, Carl, I think, my opinion, what we really need is a change in our culture. Evil is taking over the culture of this world.
Yeah.
And obviously, we are not of this world. But while we're here, we need to battle that darkness. You know, we need to look at things that we're consuming every day, from movies and music and TV, even advertising. Everything that we are inundated with, as far as, you know, that kind of stuff, is all hypersexualized. We have issues in this country that, in my opinion, the church, you know, by and large, is afraid to talk about.
Interesting.
Things like pornography addiction.
Yeah.
You know, and infidelity. And, you know, one of the things that is a leading contributor to those who buy sex out there is pornography addiction. And our churches are somewhat afraid to talk about it.
Yeah.
That's why, you know, I love my church, the Hope Collective. It's why I drive an hour to go to church, because I've found a church that's authentic, that's real, that's not afraid to roll up our sleeves and get our hands dirty and work in the trenches, because that's where Jesus does his best work. But we need to be praying for a change in culture. We need to change, you know, pray for an awakening of all of us to see that this is just a plot by Satan to, you know, contribute to his kingdom and detract from the Lord's kingdom.
Quick question before we feature this event, because something you just said, I think it's interesting. A lot of listeners right now, you're listening to Chris Baker and go, whoa, did a tattoo guy just say that the church is kind of getting on a slippery slope with morality? And buddy, you kind of surprised me here, but I think you're spot on. You would say that we're winking at stuff in the church. You know, some people are ripping you for trying to put on tattoos that are cleaning up people. You're saying, no, we're winking at stuff in the church that is hypersexualized without even batting an eye at it and wondering why we've got pornography issues in the pews, right?
Absolutely. You know, I've gone to numerous churches in Chicagoland because I go and I see all these churches having amazing women's ministry events. I know because I've spoken at many of them about trafficking. But I ask them what their men's ministry is like, and they're like, "Oh yeah, we have a breakfast once a year." Like, yeah, that's not going to cut it because, you know, things like sex trafficking, it's simple supply and demand. If there's no demand for it, there's no need for a supply, and then it, you know, goes away, right? I want to put on events, kind of like starting with like the one we're doing tonight, but where I bring in other male speakers, you know, that have gone through things like pornography addiction or infidelity or dealing with mental health stuff. All the ugly, dirty little secrets that are within the church that we're afraid to address.
So, Chris, and, you mentioned this event before we run out of time here. I want to get it featured. The event is called Trafficking Next Door. It's the Hope Center in partnership with Inc. 180. Give us a preview of what's going to be happening tonight.
Yeah, I'm really excited for this, Allie. It's at my church, the Hope Collective in Lake Zurich, Illinois, tonight from 7 to 9. Basically, what I did was I took a look at trafficking in the Lake Zurich area. It's a very affluent area, and a lot of times people will look at their own community, wherever it is, and say, "Oh, well, you know, we have a really nice community here. That couldn't be happening here."
Sure.
And what I'm doing is I'm shining a light on it. I did a case study on trafficking in the Lake Zurich area, so I'll be presenting that tonight. And then after I do that, I'm really excited. We're really blessed to have just an incredible survivor of sex trafficking that I worked with here. I covered up tattoos for her. Her name is Rebecca. She is just incredible. And there's a great God story that goes along with that.
Sweet.
Because I'm good friends with the man who helped recover her from the trafficking world, because she was also addicted to drugs, and she's going to talk about that and how that led to her trafficking. But I met him. His name is Tim Ryan. I met him when he was in Sheridan Prison as an inmate.
Oh, my word.
Telling me about the ministry he was going to launch when he was released from prison, which he did. And now we work together all the time. So just incredible things.
Okay. Hang on here. I want to make sure we get this link out because people are sitting here going, "All right, I'm sold. I want to get to this thing."
Yeah, text the word INK, I-N-K, to 312-274-9624. We'll get you the link with all the details. INK, I-N-K, to 312-274-9624.
Chris, let me pray over you right now. I'm going to pray for this event tonight. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for Chris Baker. I thank you for his authenticity and his humility, and yet his courage. And I pray that tonight's event would be the beginning of a fresh wave, a Holy Spirit movement of purification across the Chicagoland area. Lord, we know that unless people are revived in you, there's really no hope for the decline of our culture. But Lord, we are the ones carrying the message of hope. So let us be pure vessels with clean hands and a pure heart. We can ascend the hill of the Lord. And let us get victory today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
That word again to text INK. Just spell it out, I-N-K, 312-274-9624.
Cool. Chris, we're gonna actually play this again here coming up today because this is great. We got INK. We've got them flying out the door right now.
Fantastic. I-N-K to 312-274-9624.
No energy? No problem. We have all the energy you need and more. You're listening to Carl and Crew Mornings.
We're talking about disciple makers today. Those who are disciples of Jesus Christ are also disciple makers. Let me tell you a story that's on my podcast this week. John and Mary. We met them on Carl and Crew.
They are extraordinary.
Extraordinary couple. They've been married 40 years. And he was an inmate serving a 25-year sentence in a federal prison in Missouri.
And she went looking for a date. No.
Not exactly. She was a volunteer and served as a prison school teacher in that same prison.
Let me be clear. She says the last thing I was looking for was a husband.
She
in
felt
prison.
Called to serve and to minister in this prison. And so long story short, she shared the gospel with him. He ultimately ends up giving his life to Christ, but still has to finish out the remainder of his sentence. When he gets released, they reconnect. But he gets released directly into a small group. They come visit him in prison, but right before he gets released, Christmas Eve, they come visit him, Christmas Day. And then by the time he actually comes out, he moves into a house with an elder, a wife, and four really solid Christians. They come around him. They pray with him. They teach him how to deal with things like getting a job, What do you do when you lose a job? The little stuff of life. Boom. They start walking with him. They show him how to even begin to approach a woman for a date or to ask her kind of for a courtship. They train him before he ever has a relationship with Mary, like his soon-to-be wife, a formal dating relationship. He goes through this process with this group of people who are very intentional about teaching him, how do I live for Christ?
Amazing.
I've been in prison for half of my adult life. I know Jesus now, but what in the world do I do with this? This is an incredible story. If you want to hear the whole story, there's a lot more to it. Just text the word SNAP. I'll send you a link to the podcast. Text SNAP to 312-274-9624.
So we got a question, and that is, have you been discipled? Now, here's the reality. And this isn't anything to freak out about. It is what it is. We've done a way better job of making converts than we have making disciples. The challenge is Jesus called us to make disciples. I'm going to tell you right now, without giving you any details, if there wasn't one woman in my wife's life who took her under her wing early on and discipled her, helped her restructure thinking, patterns for living, without even Janann knowing it, habits, but really how she thought about herself and put her on this path of discipleship. It wasn't formalized. I don't think it was called discipleship. In fact, I think it was called, they called it come to my office for tea. And she would put on a pot of coffee or a pot of whatever you do to make tea. I'm not a tea pro. You put on hot water and make tea.
Yep.
They'd sit down, have tea. Janann would ask a question. Muriel would open up the Bible and go, great. And
wow.
Then Muriel, okay, I can give you this. Muriel would then say to Janann, this is what I want you to do, and then come back. Janann asked her at one point, why did you choose me? And Muriel said, I didn't choose you. You chose yourself. She said, I went with the girls that when I gave them something to go do and apply to their life and bring back, I would walk with them, and you did it like few others did. So discipleship is a two-way partnership.
It is. Have you experienced that discipleship relationship of someone showing you how to live, showing you how to read the Bible, showing you how to pray? Who really walked with you on your journey? 312-274-9624. Let's go to Nuku, calling in from the western suburbs. What's your story?
So when I became a Christian, when I got saved, my pastor at Alpha Missionary Baptist Church in Bolingbrook, Illinois, Pastor William Rohr, his number one commitment was to make sure that people that receive Christ are connected to another Christian that's already grown or that's grown more than a new Christian to help them grow in the disciplines of prayer, Bible study, and a discipleship process. And that process took like 26 weeks at the time, and it would be a long process, and it was a commitment on both parts. And I was connected to Cynthia Johnson, and this lady really helped me with the grace of God to grow, to know Jesus for myself, and to study and to get a closer relationship with him.
Boom. That is awesome.
Wow.
That's what we're talking about.
That's what
right
we're
there.
Talking about. You came to know the Lord, and someone, maybe a group of people who were a little bit further along in their walk than you were, helped you grow, showed you how to live. Who did that for you? 312-274-9624. Let's go to Anthony calling in this morning from Crown Point. Who was it who really discipled you, Anthony?
That would be a friend of mine, Matt. Out of Living Stones Church in Crown Point. You know, I went to church for about 6 years. I would say I was religious, but I never really got in touch with the Lord, never tried to hear from the Lord. But I went to a men's encounter at Living Stones Church, and it changed my life. You know, like having issues growing up and hearing from the Lord saying, I am your father, and then a man stepping up while you're weeping, asking to disciple you, and you're not really sure what you're getting yourself into, but I said, yeah, and he's been there step by step as I grow in the Lord, and he's been a great man in my life. I think it's really important to have someone discipling you.
Yeah, right.
That's awesome.
On, Anthony, thank you, my man. Boom! boom. This is why we call you the boom crew.
Wow.
Yeah, we cannot leave it to the winds to help people get their lives aligned with God. You know what? A lot of people, let me distinguish this. Regeneration and transformation are two different things. I don't know that we know that. Regeneration is taking the old man or woman and making them a new man or woman. That's that transfer. That's that initial transformation process. But interestingly enough, what do we find in Romans 12, 1 and 2? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, meaning transformation is an ongoing process. And all Paul's doing there is making reference to this element of discipleship, which is bringing our life in alignment with God, all his promises, by teaching us, as Anthony just said, to learn new life systems that are found in Scripture and helping people bring their life in alignment with God.
So did you have someone who helped you to bring your life in alignment? Maybe you're going through that process right now. We'd love to hear about it. 312-274-9624. We got a call. We want to go to Janet. Thank you for calling in from Highland, Indiana. Janet, who was it that really walked with you and showed you how to live when you came to know the Lord?
It was my friend Ruby. We were working at Pacific Garden Mission together. I was a new Christian. And she just took me under her wing. She loved me and helped me to grow. I was in her house. I knew her family. She knew mine. And when I was baptized, she was there.
Yeah, see, this is so good.
Wow.
Because we're talking about discipleship today. And, you know, I was just talking with Allie about this, and we always like to bring everything right here to the forefront. There's this huge leap that has to be made from events to person on person. In fact, Allie made this great statement. I'm going to bust you out right here on air. You made a great statement, young lady. You said, you know, in the church, we have two problems. We don't identify people's gifts, and we don't really have a strategy for making disciples. And you said, rightly, two problems solved at one time.
Yeah.
You get disciple-making and gift identification. You guys say, I'm committed to both of those, and boop, they go together like hand in glove. Mm. They do.
They really do. I think the question every pastor's probably asking, and really not just pastors, because it's not just pastors who are called to make disciples. All of us should be asking
all
is, how can we do this?
How do we do it? And I'll tell you right now, this is very important. Our moniker here for the show, and this is so cool because I didn't dream it up. Somebody here said, our goal is to help you take your next step with Jesus. You know what that is? It's called discipleship.
Yeah. That step by step.
And I unapologetically, I want to tell you, hey, you ready for the secret? That's my goal every morning when we get in here. Honestly, if we can give you discipleship tools to help you take your next step, praise God.
Amen. Yeah.
But there's a lack of proximity that we have and the lack of unique application of these principles to your life that we all need someone that gets under our hood and looks at the engine. I mean, all we can do is see you driving down the road, but somebody's got to stop you, help you stop, lift up the engine hood, lift up the hood and look at the engine.
And I love what Janet said. I knew her family. She knew my family. Their lives were connected. I love that story.
Great story. I think we got time for one more.
Did someone disciple you like that? Really walked with you when you came to know the Lord, showed you how to live for him? 312-274-9624.
It's like coffee, but for your ears. You're listening to Carl and Crew Mornings.
Sometimes you get stories in here that really capture the essence, in this case, of discipleship, where it's like, whoa, somebody helped me restructure the life system so that my life could actually hold water and I could take hold of God's promises. Right now, let's go to this call. Brittany from Arlington Heights. What's your story, Brittany?
Hi. So I have this mentor. Her name is Lisa. And when I came to the Lord a few years ago, I had met her, and she is just the epitome of like a godsend, because she really just took me under her wing and showed me how to walk with Jesus. And I fell so many times. When I met her, I was broken and I was damaged. And I'm actually a survivor of trafficking myself.
Wow.
And I went through a relapse even after I came to Christ.
Yes.
And the time that I fell, she picked me back up and she walked alongside me, and she had so much grace and so much love just to pour into me. And it's hard to explain to put into words like how amazing this woman is. And I'm actually co-leading my first group with her in March. So
okay,
wow.
Brittany.
Okay. Wow.
Brittany, we're going to keep your number because this is what we're talking about. And may we call you for insight down the road here?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. And I work with a trafficking ministry, and yes, please contact me.
Yeah, because here's the deal, Brittany. If you would have come into church and you would have been saved and transformed by God, but all you came to was a weekend service or other prayer meetings where you were singing and praying and learning, but nobody got under the hood of your heart, you'd not be where you are today, would you, Brittany? No way.
I wouldn't, because, you know, go to church. Church is amazing.
It's awesome.
And
yep.
Worship is amazing. Prayer is amazing. But dare I say it's almost not enough? Sometimes.
Dare you say it? Sister, you don't have to dare to say it. Brittany, you're right on the money. And you're wise beyond your years, young lady, because you need to know this. I'm going to speak on behalf of a lot of pastors who continually beat our heads against this wall of how are we going to see real life change? Well, Brittany, 3 years old in Jesus, is now, she's experienced it, and now she looks at weekend attending, which is right, Brittany. It's good, isn't it? Going to church and hearing word. And worshiping our socks off is awesome, and going to prayer meetings is dynamite. Yeah. But dare you say it's not enough? Yeah, you can dare to say that, because it's absolutely true. Until we get out of rows and into circles and into lives of people, we do not know what the Christian faith is really all about. Brittany from Arlington Heights, are you kidding me? That story will peel paint.
Wow. I mean, if ever there was a call that kind of summed up everything we've been talking about on air and off air all morning.
Everything.
Brittany's is it.
Hey, this is Carl with Carl and Crew, and I'm so grateful that you listened to this showcast. Thank you mostly for being part of the Boom Crew. As we help you take your next step with Jesus, you're a huge encouragement to us. We'll be here again live every weekday morning from 5 to 9 a.m. Godspeed.